Okay, Shkoyach, I want to briefly take an opportunity just to acknowledge and thank Avi and Morty for their incredible work in leading the Amud Shvui on a regular basis, teaching, leading, coordinating. It's an incredible group, and tremendous kudos to all of you who come together and learn every week. It's a very, very beautiful thing. So I don't know if you're here for me or the Cholent. I was here for the Cholent. So either way, I hope you enjoy. So tonight's Amud that Morty taught began, from what I understand, I caught the end of it, on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, turning over to Chaf Amud Beis, the Gemara, beginning with the Mishnah in Barachas. And the Mishnah says, Nashim v'avodim v'ketana p'tur m'kriya shema, min ha-tfilin v'chayev m'tfilin m'zizu b'birchas ha-mazon. The Mishnah contrasts certain mitzvahs which women and slaves and minors are exempt, namely shema and putting on tfilin and tfilin, but other mitzvahs which they're obligated in, namely tfilah, davening, mezuzah, and birchas ha-mazon. So what is the distinction? How does the Mishnah come up with these two categories? Why does it divide between these mitzvahs? So the Gemara says, we'll do this very briefly, because I want to get to some lamdas. Kriya shma pshita mitzvah shezman gram, mehubachom mitzvah shezman gram, anoshim beturos. So parenthetically, the tzlach, Harold, you're supposed to wake up now, the tzlach, Harold's great zayda, asks, what do you mean the Gemara is saying, pshita mitzvah shezman gram? It's obvious they're exempt from kriya shma. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Everyone knows women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. What's the problem with that, says the tzlach? Brachos is the very first mesechta. And we don't get up to the Mishnah that says women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs until Kiddushin. So let the Mishnah, Gemara, have introduced the concept and then say, isn't it obvious because we have this concept, why is the Gemara in Brachos, the very first tractate, making an assumption that we know something much later? You can look at the Tzlach for his answer. And the Gemara says, no, there's an extraordinary reason I might have thought they are obligated even though it is time-bound. So it reminds me, no, they are exempt from Kriya Shema because ultimately it is a time-bound mitzvah. Not what I want to concentrate on. They're exempt from tefillin, pshita, ma'udite ma'ov, iskish, mezuzah, kamash malon. It's also time-bound. Isn't that obvious? We have a reason to believe that they might have been obligated. No, again, kamash malon, they're exempt. Chayavim b'tefillah. But women are obligated in tefillah. And the Gemara here says, and Morty touched on it, the different girsos. The Gemara says, chayavim b'tefillah. They're obligated in davening. Now, saying women are obligated in davening is a very ambiguous term. What does it mean to be obligated in davening? Does that mean once a day to say Baruch Hashem? Fulfill the mitzvah of davening to say Baruch Hashem? Does it mean the formal template of davening, they have to recite Shemona Esrei? How many times a day do they have to recite Shemona Esrei? Shechter was here last Shabbos at my Shabbos table. He mentioned in front of my wife and many daughters, as a davar pashut, as an obvious thing. Of course women have to daven Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv. So Shemona Esrei. So that was through the family for a little bit of a loop. So anyway, they want to know if they eat turkey and drink dairy, do they have to daven Maariv, or does that already prove that? So Baruch Hashem for Rebbes and Shechter. But anyway, so the Gemara says that women are obligated in tefillah. So what does it mean that women are obligated in tefillah? The formal tefillah of three times a day, Shemona Esrei once a day, just the concept of tefillah. So the Gemara says, derachamei ninu. Why are they obligated in tefillah? Because tefillah represents rachamim. I might have thought in the context of David and Avshalom, it describes David davens three times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening. So therefore it sounds like there are set times, there are parameters for davening. If there are set times and parameters, that sounds awfully like a time-bound mitzvah. Women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs. Kamash malan, and kamash malan that what? That it's not time-bound and they're obligated? That it is time-bound, but it's rachamei, so they're obligated anyway? Since it's difficult to read the Gemara, you can understand or anticipate that that dafke is a machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Let's take a quick look. Rashi says, Tefillah derachamei ninu, velogaris pshita, daha lav doraisi. Rashi says that he takes out the whole girsa. In fact, if you look, the Marsha, others expand Rashi, that Rashi didn't just take out the word pshita, Rashi took out the whole mahu detema. And Rashi just has derachamei. For Rashi, tefillah is a din derabanan. The obligation to daven is a rabbinic commandment. So therefore, Rashi concludes, on a rabbinic commandment, there is no exemption for women of being time-bound. Rashi says the exemption of the patur of mitzvah shas mar grama, that women are exempt from time-bound commandments, is true only for biblical commandments. But rabbinic commandments, women are obligated, even if they are time-bound. So Rashi says, tefillah is derabanan, there's no patur. So are women obligated or exempt from the obligation of daven? That's what the Gemara was saying is, when you have a rabbinic mitzvah where there is no categorical exemption for women, Chazal looked at that mitzvah and made a determination. They were the ones who established the mitzvah. They got to choose whether to include women. Says Rashi, that's what the Gemara means, rachamei nenu. When the Gemara looked at the rabbinic obligation to daven, which women should be obligated in unless otherwise, so they said they will include them in being obligated. How should we structure this mitzvah to obligate women or exempt women? Removing the factor of time bound because it doesn't apply to rabbinic, says Rashi, rachamei ninu means they decided to obligate women. The Marsha says on Rashi, if there was no p'tur of zman grama, so why do I need to be told that chayev because of rachamei? They should just by default be obligated. Women are obligated in all mitzvahs that men are obligated in. That's the default. Then there's an exemption that if it is time bound, then they're not obligated. Once Rashi says that tefillah is drabbanon, it's rabbinic, and therefore there's no exemption, what do I need the Gemara to introduce rachamei nenu? I should just go back to the default, which is that they're obligated in everything that men are obligated in. So the Marsha says because of not rachamei, they wouldn't have been mesakein for women or avadim tefillah at all. In other words, the assumption is wrong that the default is women are obligated just like men. On a din derabbanon, the rabbanon will determine on whom are they obligating on their mitzvah. They wouldn't have included women unless rachamei. So Shitas Rashi is tefillas derabbanon, davening is rabbinic, and there's two chidushim there. Number one, davening is rabbinic, and number two, women's exemption of time-bound mitzvah is only on a biblical commandment. On a rabbinic commandment, women are obligated in time-bound mitzvahs. Tosfos disagrees. If you look at the top Tosfos on Chaf Amud Beis, Tosfos says he has the whole gear said there, Pshita, Kevin Nechsiv, Erev Voker, Tzarayim, and so on. Rashi Logaris Lasharit Fila Durabonani, Umay Mitzvah Shaychiba. For Rashi, what is their mitzvah say? It's Durabonan, and Rashi holds that women are obligated on mitzvah say on Durabonans. Umikon Kam Yeshli Ashiv, Dahal Durabonan, and Ashim Peturos. So Tosfos disagrees, and he says women are exempt from Halel. Halel is a rabbinic commandment. Tosfos concludes that women are obligated in rabbinic commandments. So we have here a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Does the exemption of time-bound mitzvos, women are not obligated in time-bound mitzvos, is that only on biblical time-bound mitzvos, or are women also exempt from rabbinic time-bound mitzvos? Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. What are they arguing about? What's the yesod of the machlokas? What exactly are they debating? So perhaps one can say, why is it that we're obligated in rabbinic commandments? Glenn touched on this at the end of the earlier shir. Why are we obligated to follow rabbinic commandments? Who empowered the Rabbanon to begin with to tell us what to do? The answer is that itself is a mitzvah. Lo sasser. Lo sasser min adavar she'agidu l'cha yamin yismol. And so on. The Gemara quotes a couple of psukim to tell us that the rabbis are empowered. Kadosh Baruch Hu tapped them. He deputized them to enact laws on his behalf. Which of course leads to the famous Rambam debate, which we're not going to get into. Doesn't that mean that every din derabbanan is really a din d'oraisa? Shouldn't every rabbinic commandment, did he speak about that? Shouldn't every rabbinic commandment be a biblical commandment? And why do you say safik derabbanan l'kula? If every derabbanan is d'oraisa, its safik should be l'chumra, just like the d'oraisa. We're not going to get into it, both because I wasn't ready to get into it and because apparently Rav Schechter just got into it last week. So, dinei derabbanan, we are obligated and bound to follow rabbinic law. Why? Because of lo sasur. So the chakira, the question is, the lumdus is, what does it mean when we say we follow rabbinic mitzvos because of lo sasur? Does it mean that we treat each derabbanan as if the Torah commanded it? So we treat each derabbanan independently as if the Torah commanded us in that derabbanan? Or does it mean we have an umbrella, we have a generic, we have an overarching obligation to listen to the rabbanan, but the rabbanan themselves have their own rules? So is lo sasur that each derabbanan carries with it a component of a d'oraisa because of lo sasur, in which case it follows the structure and the rules of a d'oraisa? Or does lo sasur mean there is a general overview, a general charge or obligation to follow what the rabbanan say, but then the rabbanan have their own parameters of how they structure their dinim? So if you say the first, that every din derabbanan is a component of a din d'oraisa, it's a fulfillment of lo sasur. So called the tikkun rabbanan ke'en d'oraisa tikkun, the rabbanan established the rabbinic commandments following the pattern, the model, following the rules and paradigm of d'oraisa. So just like women are exempt from a time-bound mitzvah on a d'oraisa, they'll be exempt from a time-bound mitzvah on a d'rabbanan. But if you say lo sasur, it's just a general charge to listen to the rabbanan, but the rabbanan then set up their own rules, so lo sasur is a lav, not an asay. So each time you're fulfilling a Durabanan, if you're following the lav, the general lav of Lo Sasur, that's a lav, not nasei. The patur of Zman Grama is only a patur on a nasei. If they're a Durabanan, if even a mitzvah's asei Durabanan is the fulfillment of a lav d'oraisa, so you're not going to apply the rule of an asei. Women are only exempt from an asei, they're not exempt from a lav. They're only exempt from a positive commandment. They're not exempt from a negative commandment. So if you say every derabanan is a fulfillment of the negative commandment, lo sasur, not to deviate from what the rabbis say, then you won't apply the exemption. And maybe that's the machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. Weiter, a few more things I want to say. The Rambam says that women are obligated. In the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes in Achos Tefillah, women are obligated in davening. Why? The Rambam writes, because it's not a mitzvah seishas man grama. Which is a funny thing to write, because, again, or at least he's understanding the conclusion of the Gemara, the Kamash Malon is not Kamash Malon that even though it's a mitzvah saseshas man grama, rachamei, and therefore they're obligated. The Rambam's understanding the Kamash Malon is, it's not a mitzvah saseshas man grama. So everyone asks in the Rambam, what do you mean it's not a mitzvah saseshas man grama? Shachar is a kedav until this time, mincha until that time, marav until that time. We have all kinds of zmanei tefillah. We have all kinds of parameters surrounding the limitations, the boundaries of when we can daven. How can you say it's not time-bound? If the Rambam wanted to conclude women are obligated because they're obligated in Durabba, fine, but how can he say it's not time-bound? So many answers are offered. The Lavush says, true, each independent tefillah has time parameters, but if you add them all up, all day you could either be davening a primary tefillah or offering a tashlum and making up for one you missed. So if you add it all up and look across the spectrum of the whole day, throughout the entire day, there's something you could be davening. Since there's something you could be davening throughout the whole day, we're looking at tefillah as the composite, the whole unit, not the independent tefillos, and therefore, it's not considered to be time-bound. The Shagas Aryeh asks, but there are breaks, because that might be true for Shacharis and Mincha. But when you get to Marav, we paskin Marav is a Rishus. We don't paskin that Marav is voluntary, but in theory, its source is voluntary. If its source is voluntary, how can you say that the mitzvah or the obligation to daven goes 24 hours? Moreover, according to Rabbi Yehuda, tefillah is only till the fourth hour. So between the fourth hour and chatzos, you have a window where you're not obligated. So Shagas Aryeh asks, how can you say, in answering the Rambam, that really there's some form of a davening you could be doing 24 hours a day, therefore the Rambam is saying it's not a time-bound mitzvah, that's why women are obligated. It's not true, Marav is a reshus, contribute, you have a window over there. So if so, how is the Rambam saying that it is, that the tefillah is not mitzvah seishas man grama? So Shagas Aryeh says, the Rambam is l'shitaso, because we know there's a famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, about whether is a biblical commandment to daven. The Rambam says it's a biblical obligation to daven d'oraisa once a day, and the Ramban says only be'ez tzara. The Ramban says you're not obligated to daven, biblically, unless there is a compelling crisis, a sense of urgency that drives you, then you're obligated. Whereas the Rambam says, no, even if you're not in a state of crisis, there's a daily, at least an obligation to daven once a day. Misalevichik is quoted as saying, although I think Rav Ilson mentioned last year that he never saw anywhere where the Rav, and he denies that the Rav ever said this. Someone else sent me a mukkah where the Rav said this. But the Rav apparently said that the Rambam and the Ramban are not arguing. They both agree that the driver of what obligates you to daven biblically is being in crisis. For the Ramban, a crisis comes up every now and then. For the Rambam, to be alive is to be in crisis. Every day, your health, your life, your parnasa, nothing is certain. So therefore, to be alive, to be awake, is to be avoiding or enduring a potential crisis. And therefore, they're not debating what the driver is, what's machayev of tefillah d'oraisa. They're arguing, is that something that's on occasion, or is that something which is regular? So if it's true that according to the Rambam, it's not a time-bound mitzvah, and the reason it's not a time-bound mitzvah is because the Rambam holds that you're obligated to daven once a day, any time of the day. So it's not a zman grama, it's once a day, any time of the day, you could daven. So according to Shagas Aryeh, why do you need to arrive at the Gemara at Rachameh? The Rambam totally doesn't include Rachameh. The Rambam just says it's not a time-bound mitzvah, women are obligated. But the Gemara seems to conclude that what obligates women is this extra factor that it is Rachameh. So the Shagas Aryeh says, it's in response to the specifics of davening. The fact that it's three times a day, and the matbeah of tefillah, how we daven, for that it's rachameh. But the Bach goes so far as to take the girsa out of our Gemara of rachameh. He doesn't even have the girsa. It's kind of the inverse of Rashi. Rashi only has rachameh, but he leaves out the whole pshita and ma'od detema about zman grama. And the Bach takes out rachameh and just has the other discussion. What's a nafkamina, what the chiyuv is? So Tzlach, coming back to Tzlach, the Nodeb Yehuda holds that women are exempt. So is the driver, why are women obligated to daven? Is it because it's rachameh, because they're appealing to the relationship with Hashem, it's a conversation with Hashem, so therefore it supersedes the ordinary rules of their exemption, that's rachameh, or is the obligation to daven for women because it's not a time-bound mitzvah, and they're obligated in non-time-bound mitzvahs? What's a nafkamina? So the Nodeb Yehuda says, are women obligated to daven musaf? That didn't come up with Rav Shechter. Shachar is mincha and marav, we didn't talk about musaf. So the Tzlach says, it depends. If the driver of the women's obligation is because of not being time-bound, then women might be obligated. But if the driver, because you daven musaf the whole day, but if the driver is rachameh, musaf is not rachameh. Musaf lacks that component. There's no bakasha, there's no rachameh in musaf. So the Tzlach says women are exempt. Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah says, for this reason, not only women, but what if you're a man and you didn't daven musaf? Normally, if you missed one davening, the next time you daven twice to make it up, it's called tashlumin. You can't do that on purpose. It's only if you have a justified reason to an excused absence from tefillah, do you daven tashlumin. So that's true with shacharis, you daven two minchas, minchas two marvs, and so on. What if you'd miss musaf? Can you make it up? So Tamid Rabbi Yonah say no. Since musaf lacks rachameh, rachameh is a necessary component for tashlumen, and therefore, for the same reason that Tzlach says women would be exempt if the driver is rachameh, he says there is no tashlumen. Just as an aside, Rabbi Kiva Eger makes a comment that women are exempt from musaf for a different reason. Not because of rachameh, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, because women are exempt from karbonos tzibor, women don't contribute the machtz shekel. The karbonos tzibor are both the machtz shekel. Musaf comes from the korbanos tzibor, women aren't participants, and therefore they are exempt from having to daven musaf. There's a lot more I want to say, but I've already talked. Oh no, I'm still within my time. I'm good. Okay, so I'll tell you a few more things then. So, there's a fascinating griz. The Brisker Rav, Rav Velbo, says about the following. The Gemara has several places where it concludes, even when something is a time-bound mitzvah, that women should be exempt, if afena yuba oso anes, if they too either Machlokas Rashi Tosfos were the catalyst of the miracle or the beneficiaries of the miracle, then they're obligated in that. What are examples? Megillah. Women should be exempt from Megillah. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Since Esther was the catalyst of the miracle or women benefited from the miracle, therefore women are obligated to hear the Megillah. Number two, Dalet Kosos and Hanukkah. So women are either the catalyst in all these cases or the beneficiaries, so women are obligated because of Afenayu Bo'oso Hanes. So the Grizz of Biskur Rav has the following Chakira. When you say women are obligated because Afenayu Bo'oso Hanes, they too were in the miracle, listen, are you saying that when they were in the miracle, we remove the exemption and now they have the same obligation as men? Meaning, God gave, not God, they were rabbinic, you only say Afen on rabbinic mitzvahs, but the rabbis came up with, they instituted either the four cups, hearing the Megillah, lighting the Hanukkah candles. They put in place an obligation. Women normally have an exemption when it's time-bound, and these are time-bound. But the rabbis came along and said, we negate the time-bound exemption because afein, they too were in the miracle. So when we negate the time-bound exemption, do we bring them back to the ordinary obligation that they even share with men? Or no, the exemption of afein, of mitzvah shazman groma remains in force, and in fact they remain exempt from the mitzvah that was placed on men. Afhain creates an entirely new mitzvah for women. It looks awfully like the mitzvah for men, very similar. In fact, it's exactly the same, but really it's sourced from a different place, from Afhain, not from the original place. So when the rabbis say Afhain ayubosu anes, that when women were either the catalyst or the beneficiary of a miracle, they're obligated in that mitzvah, even if it's time-bound, are they saying that we extract the time-bound and now they're subsumed under the general obligation that all men are? Or that no, that obligation on men, that time-bound means they're still exempt from that. Afein now brings from around the corner, around the side, a new obligation based on Afein. What's a nafkamina? So Rav Elvo himself, Brisker Rav himself brings a nafkamina. The nafkamina is avadim kenanim. Avadim kenanim follow the same mitzvah paradigm as women. So will avadim kenanim be obligated in Dalet Kosos and Chanukah and Megillah because of Afein Hayuba Oso Anes? So if Afein removes the patur and now the general obligation, so Avadim are also going to be chayiv. Because there goes Mitzvah Shazman Grama. Avadim were also exempt because of the same patur. If the patur is removed, it's removed entirely. Women are now obligated, Avadim are too. But if you say no, the time-bound component remains in place, remains in force. And from the original obligation, women remain exempt. There's a secondary obligation they have because of Afhain. That's only for women who were the catalyst of the miracle. But Avadim Kananim, Afhain doesn't obligate them. So if Afhain creates a new chiyuv, Avadim Kananim remain exempt. If Afhain removes the impediment to the chiyuv, then Avadim Kananim will also now be obligated. So put it better, does Afhain remove the impediment to the chiyuv, namely the exemption of time bound, or does Afhain mean that the impediment to the chiyuv remains in place, so we create a secondary chiyuv that comes from around the corner?
Would Arvus also not apply if it's coming from a separate chiyuv?
Marv because it's Rishus?
No, Arvus.
Oh, Arvus, like Koyser Arvim Zebazah?
Yeah, I mean, can you be motzi each other?
It's a good question.
So
Rashi writes that Arvus is midin, Yotza Motzi is midin Arvus, because Rashi there writes, because until everyone around you was Yotze, you didn't fully fulfill your obligation. So that's the case. It's not a secondary, a new obligation. It's that your obligation. True, I blew shofar. True, I read the Megillah. But if I'm in the presence of someone who didn't and I can help be motzi them, it means my mitzvah itself is incomplete, so it would be the same primary mitzvah. Why are women exempt from time-bound mitzvah? So there's a big discussion about this. Not for now. The Avud Raham, the Kolbo, the Ritva all give the same answer, that women, we don't want women to feel conflicted and competing responsibilities. So since women are the Akeres Abayis, they are the primarily, it's not politically correct today, but we traditionalists still believe it, that while women can do and do and participate in the whole community of workplace and professionally, but there is a primary obligation of being an Akeres Abayis, a responsibility, and biologically and anatomically it supports that women uniquely are positioned to play a role, for example, with nursing babies that can't be pawned off on a husband, no matter how progressive one is. So anatomically, what is true anatomically is true spiritually. So just like anatomically it's undeniable, we believe that spiritually it's undeniable that there is a role of women to be an Akeres Abayis, her presence in the home with her children and running the home. If women would be bound by time-bound mitzvahs, I got to run to... Only we can say we got to run out for mincha. I've always said that nursing is the woman's response to mincha. Right? It's time to clear the table, I got a nurse. It's time to put the kids to bed, I got a nurse. So each one has their out. So the Avud Raham, Kolbo, and Ritva all say that because a woman is an Akeres Abayis and she has other responsibilities, to prevent her feeling conflicted, should she show up for Hashem or should she be there for her family, Hashem says, take care of your family, I'm out. Why aren't single women obligated then in mitzvah shazman grama? So I saw a beautiful pshat, because our holy, righteous, incredible young women, who would want to get married if getting married meant that you were obligated in time-bound mitzvah when you were single, and now you're going to get married and you're going to lose that sense of obligation? We know that the greater reward is for the person who's mitzuva v'osa. If you're obligated, and do you get a greater reward than if you're exempt and volunteer? So what woman, our wonderful, righteous women, what woman would get married? So in order to ensure that they would be an impediment to marriage, there is a blow plug. Women are exempt their entire lives from time-bound mitzvahs. But to conclude, what if a woman wants to volunteer to do a mitzvah shazman grama? She wants to sit in the sukkah. She wants to hear the shofar. She wants to shake the dalad minim. Can a woman volunteer? So of course she could volunteer to do the mitzvah. Question is, does she make a bracha when she volunteers? So this is a famous machlokas. It's ordinarily quoted as a machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, but the truth is the Rambam has many more opinions on his side. Rav Avadya provides, as you would expect, Kedarka Bakodesh, the entire list. The Rambam, the Ravid, the Rashi, the Smag, he goes on and on with most of the Rishonim. Ruba de Ruba of the Rishonim hold, like the Rambam, that a woman may volunteer to fulfill a time-bound mitzvah, but she can't make a bracha when she does. So Sfaradim, who follow the Mechaber, who follows this Rambam, so Sephardic women will sit in the sukkah, but they won't make a bracha. They'll shake the dalad minim, but they won't make a bracha. They hear the shofar, or they blow the shofar, they wouldn't make a bracha. Whereas the Rabbeinu Tam disagrees, and Rabbeinu Tam, who stands virtually alone, but Rabbeinu Tam says a woman may not only volunteer to make the bracha, to do the mitzvah if it's time bound, but she even makes a bracha. What are they arguing about? What are Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam arguing about whether a woman makes a bracha? So the Rambam's position is much more compelling, frankly. How can you say, how can one make a bracha and say, as commanded by God, when in fact they're exempt? So the Rambam would say, you can't say vitzivanu when you're exempt. True, you can volunteer the mitzvah, but it's just insincere, it's inaccurate to say, as I was commanded when you weren't commanded. How would Rabbeinu Tam answer that? He'll say Vitzivanu is not talking about that woman or that individual or the group of women. Vitzivanu means Klal Yisrael. We, the Jewish people, were given this wonderful mitzvah. And Vitzivanu means I'm in the community, I'm among a people who collectively were given this mitzvah. So one way of understanding the machlokas is, can you get away with saying Vitzivanu? Is saying Vitzivanu inaccurate? It's a distortion. Or can you redefine Vitzivanu, not for the individual, but more collectively? But Rav Avadi gives a different... Rav Avadi says, you'll get up to this in I don't know how long, but the Gemara Brachos Daf Yamed Gimel talks about a bracha she'ena tzricha. What's a bracha she'ena tzricha? So I'll give you the example I always give of a bracha she'ena tzricha. This happens when I take my kids occasionally to a pizza store. You order your pizza and your french fries at the same time. And the french fries came first, and the pizza comes. Now you got to go up, assuming you're going to have enough pizza that you're going to get up to wash. So often children, some adults, will get up, but the fries came as they got up to go wash for the pizza. And that fry is piping hot. It's calling your name. So they grab the fry, and on the way to go wash, they say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kinnam Al-Kholam, Bari Pri Adama. Make a bracha on the french fry on the way to go wash for the pizza. Whereas, of course, if you washed for the pizza and made a motzi, the fries would be included. That's a bracha she'ena tzricha. When you recite a bracha that you're not obligated, I would have thought the more brachas, the merrier. Atikrei ma elameya, we make 100 brachas a day. The more the merrier, the Gemara says, no. The more the merrier of legitimate mandated brachas. But bracha that's not necessary, one shouldn't offer. The Gemara there quotes a pasuk. Why is the problem to say a bracha she'ena tzricha? The Gemara says, now I'm flirting with my time, I'm ending. The Gemara says, why is it a problem to give bracha she'ena tzricha? Because you're ofer on lo sisa shem Hashem lashav. You're taking Hashem's name in vain. If you weren't, what's the heter to say Hashem's name, to pronounce Hashem's name in the context of a bracha? If there's no justification for the bracha, you're not entitled to use Hashem's name. Bracha she'ena tzricha. Is that a deraisa or a derabbanan? Is it a deraisa or a derabbanan? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, lo sisa. So is lo sisa, the Gemara says, you're violating the din deraisa, the biblical violation of lo sisa, or is it an asmachta? Really, it's a derabbanan to say an extra bracha, but we hung our hat on that pasuk. That is a machlokes, and I'll give you one guess who it's between. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam. And Rav Avadia points out, it lines up exactly lishitasam. The Rambam holds a din of bracha she'ena tzricha and is a deraisa. There's a biblical prohibition to say Hashem's name unless you're biblically mandated to do so. So a woman can volunteer a time-bound mitzvah, but she can't volunteer the bracha because she's not biblically obligated. So now she's flirting with another violation, namely bracha she'ena tzricha. So the Rambam holds bracha she'ena tzricha as a din d'oraisa, and that's why he holds a woman can't volunteer a bracha on a mitzvah shazman grama. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam holds bracha she'ena tzricha as a din d'rabbanan, and the pasuk we quoted was only an asmachta. Since it's only a din d'rabbanan, hey mamru ve hey mamru. The rabbanan were the ones who said one should not make a bracha that's not necessary, but a woman is volunteering a mitzvah and a bracha, they said in that case, we'll consider it necessary. Where the rabbis establish the din, they're entitled to give the parameters of it. So the Rav Avadia in Yabia Omer lines up and he says that the yisod of the machlokis, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, can a woman volunteer a bracha? And it says Shazman Grama is tali in their shita in a bracha she'ena tzricha. Thank you for indulging me as I went way over time.